Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Amazing Grace, Extraordinary Truth. I am your host, Elder Lydia, and this is a series that we're embarking upon that's entitled Ministry Moments, the Heart of Worship. We're continuing in this series this week. This is the second installment. These will be short teachings or ministry times with lots of information for you to go back and digest at your leisure. As always, I hope you have a Bible, a notebook, and pencils or pens ready to write down scripture. The Heart of Worship. Amen. We're going to begin in the Psalms, and we're going to begin with Psalm 29, and I'll just begin reading. Psalm 29, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Sirion, like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calves, and discovereth the forest, and his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with grace. Oh, Lord God, we worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. Worship is devotion that is directed toward God. It's reverent honor and a show of love and respect. It is a time of deep reverence, sincere love, and awesome respect for the one who created us and delivered us from bondage. Acts 17, verses 24 through 28. It says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needeth anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of our own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Worship causes us to reflect on the majesty and graciousness of God, in contrast to our own unworthiness. God does not need our worship, but if we want to please him, we must worship him. Our reciprocal communication, our prayer, our communion, our song, our giving are all designed to bring us up and out of our selfish ways to a closer, more fruitful relationship with our Savior, Jesus Christ, to cause us to become more and more like him. James 4:8 says, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And then let's reflect a little on his graciousness. Psalm 148:8 says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. 1 John 4:9, it says, and this was manifested, that the love of God toward us the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might have life through him. Romans 5 and 8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Our worship magnifies God. Also, it honors him while also strengthening us and building us up. Worship is edifying. It removes the focus from us and our issues and places of focus and places the focus on our deliverer. It places the focus on our high priest, our mediator, the bishop and shepherd of our souls, who has all the answers to all the issues of this life. We are human. We are human beings. We, as human beings, tend to become like those who we admire. Worship is adoration and admiration. And we, as servants of God Almighty, we want to be like him. So he is the one to whom we must bestow our worship, not on things and not on other people. We don't have idols as the world has idols. We have a God who is our creator and our savior, Almighty God, who has all things in his hands and who knows exactly what we need from one moment to the next and actually makes provision for our need even before we realize that it is a need. To him we adore, and upon him do we give our admiration. As we worship, we become more like Christ. We value what he values. We take on more of his character. Worship causes a release as our focus actually shifts. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11 says, "Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth, things and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." See Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 through 7. "Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them." Worship is mind-transforming. Romans 12 and 2, it reads, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me and to every man that is among you, that not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." The heart of worship. Today we have found that worship is our devotion, respect, love, reflection of the awesomeness of God toward us. It shifts our focus off of ourselves. It transforms, it renews, it changes
changes our minds and releases us from our former condition, bringing us into right fellowship and communion with our Maker, our Deliverer, our help in the time of trouble, the Spirit of truth and excellence, God Almighty. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth, John 4:24, and know that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, Hebrews 11:6. Glory to God. Amen. This is the heart of worship. Hallelujah. Thank you for being with us for this ministry moment today with on Amazing Grace, Extraordinary Truth, the Heart of Worship Ministry Moments. I hope you will tune in with us next time. Until then, be blessed, be whole, glory to God, and be amazing in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you go on your way.